I'm just getting tired. It's the news, according to me. Yeah, good morning. It is Monday, November 25th. Month is almost over. Year is almost over. 8:51 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am at the home studio today. I will be at the home studio today, tomorrow, the next day, and even Thanksgiving morning. I will be at the home studio. Well, I don't know if it'll be the home studio, but I'll have a show. I'll just see how things go on the week here. I do have to be at the office today, but tomorrow morning, probably going to be a show either tomorrow or Wednesday morning from the main worldwide news, according to me, headquarters. We'll have to see how that goes. I did last week. I thought there would be one too, but there wasn't. I have more days home this week during the week, so I should be able to get something done. You would think I'd be able to get something done. I don't know. See how this week goes. The good weather is behind us. The warm weather, which is kind of what I have some painting and stuff to do outside, and that's not easy to do when it falls below 50 degrees. You just can't really paint anything till it's, unless it's up there temperature. I don't know. We'll see how it all goes. Have to wait till spring, I guess. I have a couple other things I got to get done too. I just have to remember that. I got some things I got to winterize. I have to get that done. I guess my week is filling up with things to do. Coming up on Thanksgiving this week, we have, now I have to work on Thanksgiving. Actually, I'm scheduled to work later in the day, so I'm not going to be around to see what my schedule for next month looks like. I'm kind of anxious about seeing what that's, I'm not going to find out until today what my schedule for next month is going to be, and hoping it turns out to be halfway decent. Had a wacky, crazy time over the last 5 days. The weekend was actually atrocious. It was really, it was ridiculous. Midway through parts of my journey through the week, I was directed to go somewhere else. I was bouncing all over the country for no reason, really. I don't know who runs the show here at this particular company I'm working for, but they do some crazy, stupid things sometimes. So, needless to say, I have chai in my cup with Cinnabon creamer, and I also have a backup cup full of apple cider, which is just my thing right now. I'm going to be making some sweet peach tea. So, my own homemade sweet peach tea, just because that's what I do. I'm wondering if I accidentally, I don't know what happened there. I'll have to go back and check that. I might have just coughed in the microphone. I don't know. I think I might have accidentally pushed the button twice, thinking I was pushing my button so I could cough a little bit. You might have caught the cough, and then I didn't say anything after that. I don't know what I did there. I need a technician and a brain transplant. I have some interesting things happening in the economy, and I think it's a very hopeful time, but I think that there's still going to be some residual issues going on. The first part of our year here, I think in 2025, is not going to be an easy. I don't think it's going to be easy. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. One of the biggest things here, the safety net that we have, is that if the gas prices go down, that will be an initial catalyst to getting back to on a long-term good economy situation again. One of the things that concerns me most is car prices. And I have kind of looked into this a little bit. I've kind of kept track of some things, people that talk about issues with the auto industry. And they have there's some really good analysis from some of these guys, what they know of the market, what's happening. Truck prices, for example, they're outrageous. There are some sticker prices on trucks now that just regular trucks. Over $100,000. Somebody showed a sticker price, it's the MSRP sticker price on the lot I think it was $205,000. I can't remember what all the package that everything had on it, but it was, who pays that kind of, now I realize out west, $200,000, there's some places out there where, you know, that's what it costs to fill up your tank. So that's not that big of a deal. You know, you have to make $100,000 a week just to be on above the poverty level in some places out there because of the way the government's spending your money. It seems like that's the case, but I know it's not the case. I just went past I was in Boston yesterday morning. And on the way, I was on a drive from two locations and saw this thing, luxury condos, $495,000. Now I know that's, and this was not downtown. This was in a industrial area. luxury condo. And the condo, the building looked nice. Looked like it was brand new. It looked nice on the outside. I don't know. I don't know what the condo itself looks like. Most condos are typically, it's probably a one bedroom. So it's got a bedroom, a bathroom. You know, it might not even have a regular bathroom. It might have like a master bath type thing just connected to the bedroom. And then it'll have a living room and typically a little kitchenette or a kitchen area. Sometimes it's all in one thing. It's just, they consider it a great room, but it's not a great room. It's just one room. It's a one room apartment with a bedroom divider. And a toilet in the corner. That's luxury. $500,000. And you don't even own the property. It's I mean, you own the building. You own your space there. I've never understood this whole condo thing. This is worse than an HOA. You know, HOAs can be busted up, by the way. I don't know if you know that or not, but HOAs can be broken up and you can just own your property and do whatever you want. But it takes the whole homeowners association in order for that to happen. Of course, they're scared because, well, what if somebody moves in and paints their house pink? So what? The point is you can't open a box in your front yard without the chairman of the HOA coming to charge you with crimes and all kinds of weird stuff. We have some HOAs are okay. So that I will never live in a place where there's an HOA. I will never do that. We live in a small subdivision, and there's no HOA. It's been here since the 70s. It's been here for 50 years, and it's just a little road, couple roads on a dead end. We live on the end of a dead end street, and it's just, you know, here we are. Nobody bugs us. We're just neighborly. We just get along. Somebody can't get their lawn cut, we just go over and cut it for them. Mowers broke down. That's just the way we do it here. We don't, I'm going to call the HOA because you're not keeping your lawn cut. That's not the way it works here. So we have stuff like that going on. The prices of things are just unbelievable. And it's unsustainable right now. That, you know, there was all this money flowing around, all sloshing around out there with all these, you know, stimulus checks and everything was going on. The whole COVID thing just kind of offset everything. People were buying RVs like they were going out of style because everybody thought that the, you know, if you're going to do anything with your family, if you're going to go on vacation, if anything was going to happen over the next, you know, 4 or 5 years, we thought that COVID was going to shut everything down for years, the way things were going. You know, what was it, 2 weeks to flatten the curve or whatever it was. That's fine in some areas. You know, the problem was you have centralized government telling us to do something. If you've got New York is experiencing an outbreak, they make the entire country lock down. Well, that's just stupid because the outbreak isn't here yet. Make New York shut down. You know, lock them down for a while. Flatten the curve there. Until it starts popping up other places, then start thinking about how you're going to flatten the curve in different areas. There's one policy doesn't work for the entire country. This is why we have an electoral college system. This is why you need more representation in some areas where people aren't piled on top of each other. And you get this hive mind mentality in some areas that you don't want that running the entire country. It's just there's all kinds of good reasons to have an electoral college. By the way, he won the popular vote too, by millions. Still, you know, 10 million less. She got 10 million less votes than Joe Biden did in 2020. I don't know where those people went. Question is, did they ever exist? There's actually people, there's people on Twitter. Some of them are actually admitting, they're like, hey, maybe we did steal the election in 2020. It's like, what happened? Because initially there was 15 million people that didn't show. They're just, the initial count was 15 million. I think it's just a little less than that now. The disparity and the difference. And it's like, what just happened here? I mean, when you look at the chart, when you look at the graph, there's a bar graph out there that shows you the average voting, you know, levels in the last three elections and then this election. And the last three prior to 2020. And then you see 2020 and then you see 2024. And it's... It is so obvious there was something wrong with that election. But of course, you know, don't worry. Bill Barr told us there was no evidence of any widespread voter fraud that affected the election. Don't worry. Of course, after they drilled it into us over and over and over, all this concern about, you know, violence from the Trump administration if he loses. Is he going to accept Are you going to accept? Of course, that's a two-edged sword, folks, because if you lose, then all of a sudden, you know, you're the one who said you had to accept it. They're not accepting it. Well, let's put it this way. They might be accepting the results. They're not accepting the fact that the American people voted overwhelmingly either for Donald Trump or against Kamala Harris. I don't know which was the most motivating factor there. And like I said, I don't think people showed up on the left, not to the tune of 15 million, but I think there were millions of people who didn't show up to vote, who just didn't care. They were mad at the Democrats, the way they ran the campaign, everything that happened there. They just disenfranchised them. They dismissed them. I think there's a new, it just, I don't know if any of you, I was talking about this the other day. I might have said something on the show, I think, but I'm pretty sure I was talking about this. There's just a different atmosphere now. It's very different. And it's, of course, the left is melting down, not as bad as they did in 2016. Because they got so caught off guard with that. I think this time there's just a lot of disillusioned people out there that's wondering around what in the world's going on. And what amazes me is how it has affected so quickly. It has affected the legacy media companies, MSNBC, CNN. They've taken a beating over this. And of course, Fox News, which I don't necessarily, I think they're more in touch with the American people, but I'm not saying that they're I'd rather listen to Newsmax or something or One American News or. The hit that they've taken is unbelievable. It's just and of course, because the whole time all they were doing was telling us, oh, this guy is Hitler. All they did was vilify Donald Trump. They never had a policy, never had anything other than we're not him. He's an existential threat. In other words, what that means is that he's going to destroy our country. I don't think people were buying that. And the people who are completely unhinged by this whole thing. They're out of control. They're having this. It's an issue with these people. There's always going to be a mass formation at some point. And it only takes 20 to 30% of the people, on their side to have that kind of wacko-ness going on. And they do have that. I believe it's a mental disorder at this point. They're saying, you know, we're not going to invite you to our thing. We're not going to your Thanksgiving dinner. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do this. If you voted for Trump, we're going to, you know, I hope you have a miserable 4 years. I hope you die. I hope you're scared to death over the next 4 years. What kind of curse is that they're trying to put on the American people? It's a curse. And we're not going to accept that. That's something that gets rebuked. No, we're moving forward with a common sense agenda to restore law and order, to restore our economic base, and to help all people become more successful, be able to enjoy their, what they, you know, Trump is talking about not taxing senior citizens, retired people. If you're on a fixed income, you're retired, you shouldn't be paying income tax. I have, this has been in my head for many, 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 many years. It is stupid. There was a time, back when I was, how old I was, I was right out of college. It must have been when I was 21 or 22. Probably 22, I guess. Probably about 85, somewhere around there. 84. I don't know. I was working two jobs. And we're in two full-time jobs, by the way. I was working a night shift security job, and I was working a day job building ladders. And I remember during that time I didn't really make any more money. I was spending all my money driving back and forth. I felt like I was killing myself. I did that for about 6 months, and maybe it was closer to a year. And I was just killing myself, working all the time, barely sleeping, and going. But I didn't have a social life, of course, at all during that time. And I can't remember what I was going to talk about. I completely lost my train of thought. Think back. I think I was talking about, I don't know what it was. Senior citizens. I was working a nighttime job, working security, and this one fellow who was working there, I think he was 70 years old, I believe. And I'm pretty sure at that time, at least in the state of Indiana, I think it was a federal thing. Once you reached 70 years old, you didn't pay income. You didn't pay income tax on any wages that you earned. Pretty sure it was federal and state, I believe, at that time. This guy, he was working this part-time. And maybe it was just for a part-time job. I don't know. But it was, however it worked out, this guy said he wasn't paying any income taxes. And he was at least 70. He might have been a little older than that. He seemed really old to me, but that was back when I was 22. And now 70 doesn't seem that old to me anymore. I'm looking at people who are 70 and realizing I'm not that far away from there. So I'm thinking he was in pretty good shape. I mean, of course, this security job, you had to, every hour you had to walk the entire plant, and you had this little clock that you carried around, and you went to these little places where there were keys, and you'd key in at all these places. And this clock had a little paper thing in it that it was, of course, wound up, and then it was moving around inside there. And when you go to these different locations, this key would put a little stamp on this little piece of paper inside the clock to know that you were there at a certain time. So it would put a little time stamp on that piece of paper from that particular key, knowing that you were in that position at that time. So they knew you were making your rounds. They knew where you were going. There was probably 15 keys throughout the complex there that we had to key in on. I'm pretty sure I probably missed a few. I don't know. Occasionally. Because in the middle of the night, you're just walking around like a zombie. One night, I realized I was sleepwalking. I had taken off my coat, hung it up on something, and I just walked out into the cold. And I found myself standing in front of like one of those loading dock things. I wasn't anywhere near any place I was supposed to be. I was just standing there when I realized what was going on. I finally woke up. I went back in, got my coat, and in fact, I wasn't sure where my coat was. I had to remember where my coat was, and I resumed my walk. But I don't know how long. Probably 5 minutes, probably something like that. I don't know. It was kind of just totally forgot that even happened. It's kind of funny. And it was literally like a dream. I was dreaming this whole thing. I still remember to this day. I just remember kind of waking up from the whole thing. It's weird stuff, because it's just middle of the night. You're tired. You're kind of sleeping. You can, you know, between your walks, of course, one guy will do the walk 1 hour, and the other guy just walk the next hour. Or no, is that how we did it? No, one guy would walk half the facility on one side in the hour, and then he'd come back, and I would walk the other half on the other side. And then so every hour we were walking. So this guy was up walking every hour, all night long. Of course, in the morning, when stuff starts showing up for the deliveries and stuff, that last hour was crazy. And then the rest of the day, during the day was when it was really busy, and security was, that's when you actually had to do things. That's why I was working nights. And it turned out to be a good job. It was minimum wage, basically, but it was maybe $5 an hour, maybe $4 an hour, something like that. Back then, that was pretty close to minimum wage. And I think minimum was just $3.75 or something back then. So we had, now it's, you know, it's ridiculous. So, and it wasn't meant to be a livable wage. It was meant to be additional wage. But this idea of not taxing people, you know, not taxing tips, not taxing all this stuff, that's, it just makes perfect sense to me. We're sending people Social Security checks. And we want to take taxes out of that. This check is coming from the government. It's money that we paid into. They took it from our check. And right now, there's people on Social Security who are, they're taking money from my check to give to these other people as a Social Security payment, and they're taking taxes out of that money. This is money I've already, it's coming out of my check. I'm paying a tax to give to someone else, and they're charging them tax for that. I do not understand the reasoning behind all that. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. But the markets, because of the last 4 years and everything that's happened, of course, now this is all granted. We don't have nuclear war starting this week. What's going on in Russia, between Russia and Ukraine, I think that Putin is hopeful that there will be a resolution to this whole thing when Joe Biden steps out of office. But Joe, I tell you, this administration, the deep state, the military warmongers that are out there are, I believe they're trying to ramp this thing up. Now, I also know Putin is getting desperate. In order to invite North Korea into this battle, by the way, they've taken some. There's more. The last time I talked about it, but over the weekend they took on some more huge losses. North Korea lost a bunch of generals. Now, there's not a lot of high-ranking generals in the North Korean army, by the way, because the supreme leader there doesn't trust that many people. And when he loses trust in you, he kills you. You go off to the gulag, and you're never seen again. So for him to be losing those kinds of loyal people there, this is devastating for North Korea. And and of course, Putin, I'm sure, is more than welcoming his new cannon fodder that he has to throw in front of all the missiles. Oh, yeah, you want to come over and help us fight? I'm sure they've got some kind of great deal. So probably this whole thing is going to be, Russia is going to be the protector of North Korea. I'm sure he's promising some kind of correct protection there. Any better, because they're going to lose their army if they keep sending their troops there. These are not battle-hardened troops. They've not fought a war for, 70 years? 50? Whatever it is. Over 50 years. So But they're just, you know, desperate people do desperate things. And I'm concerned that we have desperate warmongers on our side that think they're going to lose their jobs, they're going to lose their positions, their power, they're going to lose, you know, possibly their freedom if they get caught doing some of the things that they've been doing, depending on what Pam Bundy, whatever her name is. The new AG. looks like she's going to be the new AG. Now, what's interesting about this is how the left is reacting to Pam Bondi being put in as the AG. One of the guys, the most famous clip now is that he says, well, she's even more dangerous because she knows what she's doing. She's competent and she knows the job and she knows what she's doing. So she's even more dangerous. In reference to Matt Gaetz, basically, she was saying, well, at least Matt Gaetz, you know, we probably could have thought he'll screw things up and he won't do things right. So we might have some time. Pam Bondi knows what she's doing. She was the AG down in Florida for a while. Of course, all this, she's a very competent person. And she's very loyal to Trump. Now, some people say she's a deep stater. She is no way a deep state. She is not in the deep state. She was friendly with some of the politicians in Florida, with Marco Rubio and DeSantis and some of the others down there, because she was the AG. I mean, she had to work with those people. She was, but she has been a Trump loyalist. In fact, I remember very clearly she was one of the people who, she published it. I think she put it on Twitter. She put it on some kind of social media. She said, the president has a clear path to contesting the election. And she showed how this, legally, how he could do it. And it was basically what he did. He was trying to contest the election. They had the alternate electors. The whole thing was there. They were going to have, you know, basically a, the process was started. Now, if the rioters hadn't done what they did, it wouldn't have disrupted Ted Cruz protested the election. He voted in protest. There were several others who did. Once you have a senator who will do that, they can, because people from Congress, I think I played this video a while back where Maxine Waters and several others were asking for some kind of a senator in order to have a contester. This was in the 2016 election. In order to contest the election, you had to have a senator step forward and say, you know, that they were going to support the contest. It had to be a written letter for them in order for them to do so. No Democrats in the Congress could find no senator would step forward with that in 2016. They had one in 2020. It was Ted Cruz and one other person, one other senator. I can't remember what his name was. And of course, then I think it's, is it Chris Cribbs or whatever the guy's name is? He's a supposedly Republican. And this guy's not a Republican. He's the tech engineer. I think he worked for the Bush administration, George W. He worked for him. He was one of the big people on the board, the review board, when Ron Johnson and everybody had this big hearing about the 2020 election. He came out in defense of the whole process. These machines are great. Everything's working great. There's nothing to see here. He was supposedly this expert, and he was a Republican. Well, he is a deep, deep establishment Republican. If you want to say that there's no, you know, that there's a uniparty, this guy is in the middle of it. Cribs is a dyed-in-the-wool establishment guy. I would say he's more of a progressive than most of the people who call themselves. You know, he's not woke. He's not on that side of the thing. But he's definitely a progressive. He is more of a, I would say, a social engineer, a socialist. He's more of a collectivist. Even though he won't say that out loud, but he definitely believes in governmental power. He's all for centralized government power, and even goes beyond that. I would say he would probably argue that he's not, but only because he's just so deeply involved the machine. Because there's kind of like this left and right thing, and then there's this uniparty establishment that is just there. He's so deeply entrenched in that you can't tell the difference between him and somebody. It's, you know, and then you got Lindsey Graham, but people like that. It's just they're. So Bondi will probably get in. There'll probably be fewer. Now, Matt Gaetz, I think this, personally, I think this was a Ford chess move. Maybe not. I think that they floated Matt Gaetz as the potential AG, put him out there, and if people didn't throw a fit, he was going to be the AG. If it looked like he had support, he was going to be the AG. However, here's what I think. I think their plan was, okay, we're going to throw him out there. He's probably going to get rejected. He knows that we know it. He's going to resign right away. They can't touch him in the Congress anymore. They can't do anything to him. So he's in this situation now. Well, what's he going to do? Is he going to come back and be in the 119th Congress? He resigned from the 118th. Is he going to come back and be, because he was elected to be in the 119th. He didn't resign from that. Now, there are some people, of course, who don't want him in Congress saying, oh, no, you can't do that. Once you've resigned, you've resigned. You can't. No, that's a different Congress. He's resigning from his office this year. He will be sworn in. I believe he could pick it up again in the 119th because he got elected to be a representative next year for his next term. Anybody else would have ran. He would be out of office. He could resign. But he was elected it sounds like he could come back. However, he has no intention to do so, according to what he said. So he's not going to do that. Just to be clear. However, this opens up all kinds of doors for this guy. He's going to play a major part in this administration and what happens. One of the things that they're talking about is putting him in as a special prosecutor. He would be in the federal system. He would be a federal judge, and then they would, or a federal prosecutor. And going about it the right way and not doing it like Jack Smith did, where he was not actually a qualified special prosecutor. If that happens, this could be the worst case scenario for these guys, because you know now what you've got is Pam Bondi doing things the right way, making sure law and order is established, and you got Matt Gaetz who will go after these people with just turn the guy loose to do what he's doing. It would be their worst nightmare, in my opinion. So, we'll see what happens here. I'm not advocating or looking forward to anybody being prosecuted just because of their political opinions or their political party. What I am interested in is seeing the corruption rooted out of Washington. And then this tentacle thing goes deep. And there's going to be some serious replications here, if that's a word. It's going to be interesting. And it's going to hurt. I think it's going to be painful for the nation for a little while. Now, the advantage we have here is that Trump has not up for election again. So in some ways, he doesn't care what they say about him in the midst of all this whole thing. They can do whatever they want. Now, they're going to try to impeach him again. The key here is to really get this thing under control so that in the 2026 election, we don't have a replay of 2018, where all of a sudden the House is taken over by the Democrats and we have nothing but impeachment trials the whole time. Well, impeaching, well, he picked his nose. We're going to impeach him now for that. Just whatever. That's where they're going to go with this stuff. And I think if we can get that straightened out and get it figured out, I think there's some hope for the getting the nation back on track. We got 2 years, basically. Hopefully, not as many rhinos in Congress. People are going to go along with what needs to be done. We can spend money on the right things to spend money on and curb back some of the spending on other things as well. And I think we've got a good team in place. I think, regardless of what some people think, why are we putting RFK Jr. in here and we got Dr. Oz and all that? There's about 72 people he's appointing into special offices to oversee things. Most of them are people you haven't ever heard of who are absolute perfect for the job. Pete Hegseth, in my opinion, is absolutely perfect for the job. He's a fresh face, fresh new guy, understands that he's got two bronze stars. He's definitely qualified to do the job. But at the same time, I think he's the guy we need in place. And I think he's got the right attitude and opinions to make this work. We'll see what happens with it. I don't know. I could be very wrong. I do know that Pete has an ability to he's inexperienced, and he's a little bit green to be in this kind of a position. However, he's inexperienced in the politics of the job. I do know this. From what I understand of the guy, he is an incredible team leader. And that's what we need at this time. Elon Musk is an incredible team leader. RFK Jr., I think, has a little trouble with the team mentality. However, what I'm seeing him overseeing and the people they're going to put in place under him is really where that's really where the key is. And I think that's what has made Elon Musk very, very successful is that he's been able to manage the team that he's you know, acquired. Manages them properly, has proper motivation and everything that they're doing. It's all a part of, you know, what's happening there. And I think that this is, he knows who is all in. And I think Elon is very good at that. So we'll see what happens with this whole thing. But I think there's a team forming. Like I said, all it's going to take is for us to maintain some kind of semblance of not, you know, getting into a world war before it all happens, before it all falls in place. Now, the economy, like I've said, I think that there's, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not an economic, you know, expert, I'm not a financial counselor. However, I believe that the left is going to go out the door, just like Joe Biden throwing the hand grenade in here, with saying, oh yeah, go ahead and use long-range missiles to shoot into Russia. Go ahead and use, we're going to provide you with long-range missiles. We might as well be shooting them ourselves. And basically we are, because we're having to train them to do it. So they're basically our proxy. And it's, you know, yeah, push this button, do that, slide that lever over, push the button, aim it over there to that target over there. There you go. Good job. Well, that wasn't us. That was you. We didn't do that. I think that's called an accomplice. And I believe that Russia is, you know, fully within their scope of saying, this was, you know, this is, because we're directly getting involved in this war. I guess Russia has threatened to use their hypersonic missiles, their other stuff that they got going on. Just interesting things happening right now. Of course, we get told all kinds of weird stories. If you don't believe me, just think back to the pipeline issue. Well, Russia did that. Yeah, Russia blew up their own pipeline, whatever. We know that's not true now. So just all kinds of weird stuff like that's going to keep coming out of this particular administration. They want to see it ramp up. I believe they somehow think that if we get into a war that we can't exchange power. Trump can't take over if we get into a war. Oh, we're in a war now. We can't do that. Because that's what Zelensky did. He canceled the elections in Ukraine because, well, we're in a war. Of course, now Putin, the more desperate he gets, the more violent he will get. And it will have a direct effect on our economy here and things here. So just think about how it happens, you know, with chips and everything else that during COVID and everything, all the supply chain issues and all, you know, the stuff that happens over here, the grain supply and all the, everything. So we'll see what happens here. Economically, I believe that the Democrats would love to see us. They would love to sabotage the economy before Trump takes over so that they can say, well, it's Trump's fault. Trump's economy crashed. They'll blame it on Trump. And anyway, they can look at it. If the economy, you know, takes off optimistically and everything goes really well, they'll say, we handed him an economy that was great. And they're already saying that. They're already saying during the election, they were saying that, you know, well, the economy is wonderful. You know, inflation's down and blah, blah, blah. Look at the wages are up and blah, 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 blah. It's the best economy since 1942. Whatever. They'll spin it any way they want to. Now, I think what has happened here was the leftist media has just so devastatingly lost credibility with the American people. I don't know how long that will last. They can get it back. I don't think MSNBC can. I think they're done. They've lost over half their viewership. They've some of the shows like Morning Joe have just, you know, Cogent. He's cogent. This is the best version of Joe Biden ever. Oh, by the way, he stepped down because he's not cogent. He's not the best version. He's old, decrepit. Kamala Harris is the best person for this job. She's the person we need for this hour, this time. She's the best candidate ever. She's running a flawless campaign. She's a great economy. She's winning. And then, of course, no, she's not. She's going to win Iowa. Donald Trump is a racist, fascist, misogynist pig. On and on and on. Oh, by the way, I'm going to go talk to him this afternoon, have breakfast, and we're going to talk about, you know, how we're moving forward. What are they doing? What are they doing here? And their viewership went down an additional 30. It's like their viewership went down 50%, and then it was another additional 28% after they found out, the viewers found out. And you got people like Rosie O'Donnell. It's not Rosie O'Donnell. What's her name? Is it Rosie O'Donnell? I think it's Rosie O'Donnell. Comes out and says, I'm not watching Joe anymore. Joe, nit, whatever. These people are just, they have this delusion in their head. And they just, I've heard this lady go on with this. If you voted for a racist, fascist, misogynist, homophobic, convicted felon, well, I don't want to have anything to do with you. It's like, well, it's not who we voted for because he wasn't convicted. That conviction's going to be dropped, by the way. If you ask them, what exactly was the crime he was convicted for? What is the conviction? Well, there was 34 of them. Okay, should be easy for you to name one then. Can you name one of the 34 crimes that he was convicted for, that he's felon for? Well, it was, he's a rapist. No, that wasn't one of the ones that had nothing to do with that case. What were the crimes? Well, he was, he's guilty. They found him guilty. Guilty of what? What exactly? They can't tell you. 99% of the people who say those kinds of things, that have that kind of rhetoric, will not be able to answer that question. Unless they do a Google search and try to figure it out. But in the meantime, they're spouting it off all the time. And even the Google search, they won't understand what the charges are. And then when you find out exactly how they went about getting those charges, changing laws in order to get an individual. Not because there was a crime spree going on in the country and we need to adjust our laws here because we've got this crimes happening to the American people. He didn't commit any crimes against the American people. Now you can say, the lady he attacked in a dressing room. No. When you look at that case and you realize how bogus and ridiculous it is, that should scare every man out there, by the way, because anybody can come up to you 30-some years after you, some kind of crime that you supposedly committed back in the 80s or whenever it was. No witnesses. And be awarded $500 million. I don't know. Yeah. There you go. Keep your records. I don't know. This just blows my mind. It's all because they don't like his politics. That's the only reason going after him. So change the statute of limitations, change all this stuff just so they can go after somebody. Yeah, just amazing. But no, it's not politically motivated. No. Right, whatever. So, folks, I'm concerned about the economy, and yet I'm not. I believe that if all things remain the same and if they actually sit down and don't do – of course, Kamala Harris now went off to Hawaii to have a vacation. Of course, they're defending her tooth and nail, saying, oh, why shouldn't you? She worked really hard during her campaign. She deserves some time off. I don't care if she stays, 10,000 miles away from the White House for the rest of her life. I don't care. She didn't do anything before. She's not going to do anything now. However, here's the problem. Here's what's hypocritical about that. She owes the DNC about $20 million. She should be working back. She should go back to her job at McDonald's and see if she can make some extra money to pay them back. Somebody will step in and pay for that, I'm sure. There's some people step forward because they still have donations coming in, believe it or not. It'll be paid for. It's not like they... But they are in $20 million in debt. I don't know who they're in debt to, but that's just usually where it's at. If she had won, of course, where does that money come? Where's all that money flowing around from? Individual donors?
I'll give them $5, Zoe. So all these people are going to give $5 to pay off the debt.
No, that's not. It doesn't work that way. These are big hitters, big people. People who can drop $20 million and not even, like I'd loan you a quarter. There's plenty of them out there. We have... interesting things happen. So as the week goes on, it's kind of, I don't know who that was. We'll have a show tomorrow. Hopefully I get some more time to do some recording and get some sound bites for you. As I kind of recover today, I do have some work to do today. Get some things done. I'll be at the main worldwide headquarters for a little while today. And other than that, looks like what's interesting is my listenership has gone back up again, which is kind of interesting. I don't know what's going on with that. It dropped off right after the election. I noticed mine dropped off right after the election, and I think it's just fatigue. It's just people just it wasn't 50%, but it definitely dropped down a little bit, like 10% or whatever. But it's just election fatigue. So we'll see how things pan out here for the next couple months, I guess. Here. God bless, folks. Have a great Thanksgiving. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Take care. See you.